An adventure of generosity that we get to live in, that we get to sacrifice, we get to give, we get to be generous, and that as we do that, Lord, you give us joy, you give us your presence and your peace, and we honor you and thank you and praise you in that, and that's an awesome privilege. But then even more, God, or even further, you give back to us, God, and you take care of us financially and give us more than we could need, God, so that we can give more. Lord, I'm so honored and such a privilege that we get to do this. We get to live this lifestyle of generosity. Father, I pray for your grace to be on me as I speak this afternoon, and that your grace would be on each one of us to hear what you have to say to us. Sorry, this morning, God. You can give me your grace this afternoon also, Lord. I'll take it then. But Lord, give me your grace this morning to speak your words, to share your heart. And I pray that you give grace to each one of us to hear what you're saying and to really to live in generosity. To live a radical life where we're not just holding on to what we can get and what we can store up, but where we're giving out everything that we can. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, I mentioned this every time, you know, the important part is our heart. You know, Jesus, when the Pharisees came to him and asked him what the greatest commandment was, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the greatest commandment. And so we focus, you know, the start is our heart, that our heart has to be right before God. Our heart has to be just sold out to God, where everything we have, everything we are, everything we do, everything we want to do, all of that is given to God. And then, and so generosity, living a lifestyle of generosity then, it starts with this heart surrendered to God, submitted to God, loving God with all we have. And so anything that comes out of that is easy. You know, we like to focus on the external things, like, okay, how much money should I give? How much time am I giving toward God? How much of my, how many DVDs can I have before it's wrong to have that? How many, streaming video subscriptions can I have before it's too many? You know, we want to focus on these external things, but that's a byproduct. The important thing to focus on is your heart, that your heart is in correct alignment with God, that you love him with everything you have, and then out of that, everything kind of works out naturally. And so when we talk about giving then, focus on your heart. Get your heart right before God, that you want your heart sold out to him, ready to give anything that you have or anything that he asks you to give, that you're just ready to surrender it to him, that your whole life is lived in generosity, in sacrifice, having faith that God would give back to you and take care of you as you pour out for him. So today we're looking at sacrifice and how God really calls us not just to give a little bit so we don't really feel it, or not to give enough so that, okay, I'm comfortable giving this much, but he calls us to make a sacrifice in our giving. Yes, with our money, but also with our time, with our possessions, with our energy, our prayers, our focus in life. He calls us to make a sacrifice and be giving make a sacrifice in all of our giving in every area of our life. Let me share a story of when Jesse and I were in Romania with our kids. They followed us there. Couldn't get rid of them. We were out in Romania and we didn't really raise as much money as we should have raised or as people told us we were supposed to raise. We just raised, we thought, okay, this seems like it's good. And so there were times where we struggled. We didn't have quite enough. There were other times where we had plenty, but there were a lot of times where we were really on the edge. And there was a period of time where I think we had been out there for just over 2 years. Yeah, it was just over 2 years because it was shortly after Brian and Kathy came out to visit us. We didn't get enough money in, and then we had all these expenses, and I'm looking at our bills and I realize, man, we can't pay rent. I figure, okay, we got enough to pay groceries because we didn't have any groceries at home. I'm like, all right, we got enough to get some groceries, but I can't pay rent. And then I had some bills that we'd paid. We're okay there. But there were these missionaries we were supporting, some in Haiti and then some that were in Romania, in different parts of the nation. And we couldn't pay for them. So we had enough for groceries, but not for rent and not to support these missionaries. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, well, I guess we'll pay for groceries because, you know, we got to eat. That's important. But then, so I make this decision, all right, we'll use the money for groceries and then we'll trust God to provide for, you know, rent and everything else that we need. The missionaries and all that. But then a guy that we were ministering to, a refugee from Africa, came to me and he said, hey, I got this tooth problem. Do you think you can... He couldn't speak Romanian very well, so he said, hey, do you think you could take me to the dentist and help translate with me? So I take him to the dentist, and it turns out He needs some major dental work, and the dentist told me the price. It was exactly the money that we had. And I'm like, oh, man, we need groceries. And I felt like God just convicted me that we got to give this for his dental work. And so I talked with Jesse, and I said, hey, I want you to pray about this. I feel like we're not supposed to get groceries. We're supposed to help. This was Derek. We're supposed to help Derek with his dental work. And she prayed about it with me, and we both of us felt like, yeah, God's calling us to make a sacrifice. Give this money that's supposed to feed our family to him to get his teeth fixed. And so we did that, and we said, all right, God, you're going to take care of us then. We're following you on this. This is a sacrifice because we need to feed our family, but we're giving this money up to take care of this guy because you told us to, and you're going to have to take care of us now. And so we're just waiting, like, okay, God, what are you going to do? So we paid for the dental bill, waiting on God to provide for us. It was like, we only waited for like a day or two, I think, and I get a text message from a friend of mine. Hey, Jake, I got some good news for you. Can we meet up? I'm like, okay, all right. So I meet up with him to get a cup of coffee. I'm like, so what's the good news? And he's like, God really blessed me. I want to bless you back. He gives me enough money to pay for groceries for my family plus rent now. I'm like, okay, that's cool. So we made a little sacrifice, only had to suffer for a day, but then God blesses us. Wow, that's really fun. I'm like, all right, I got this sacrifice thing down. I know how this is now. I'm ready to make sacrifices. Whatever God calls me to do, he's going to take care of it. Well, then, and then I'm like, well, okay, so we got enough for groceries, enough for rent, but we got these missionaries that we're supporting, and I thought, well, maybe we could just cancel it. You know, I mean, missionaries, me as a missionary, it's like, ah, oh, what does it matter? You know, I'm thinking, oh, they probably have hundreds of other people, and, you know, they've got these networks, and they'll figure it out. And I'm like, yeah, no, they can't figure it out. That's why we're supporting them, because they need us. And God convicted me, like, no, you don't stop supporting them until I tell you to stop supporting them, but you have to sacrifice. And I'm like, okay, well, what do you want me to sacrifice? And then I see my bass guitar. I love that bass guitar. It was this cool acoustic electric bass guitar, black, same one that the Violent Femmes used, if you know the Violent Femmes. And I love that thing. It was really fun. But I had two basses, because when Brian and Kathy came, Brian brought my real bass, my eighth child, the Fender. And so I see this other bass, and I'm like, oh, I guess I don't need two basses. And I'm like, all right, I guess I got to sell the bass guitar. It was a sacrifice. It's a bass. I love my bass. So I put the bass guitar up on this Romanian Craigslist kind of thing called OLX. And it was like a day later, I get a text message from a woman in the city saying, hey, I saw your bass guitar. Want to buy it? I'm like, all right, great. Here's the price. Cool. I'll be by tomorrow. Sweet. So I'm going, all right, I'm going to get enough money so that I could, you know, support all these missionaries. I lose the bass, but that's all right. You know, God told me to sacrifice it. I'm good with that. But I get enough money to help the missionaries, plus I got a little bit left over for whatever I need it for. Well, then, so our rent was due. So I gathered the money that we'd gotten from this friend of mine so that I could pay rent. And what you have to do in Romania, this is complicated and annoying, you can't pay your rent in the local currency. You have to pay it in euros. So I gathered all our money, and I go to the bank to exchange it and get euros. On my way to the bank, I got pickpocketed. They stole my wallet, all our cash. That was all our money, except for about, I had a 100 lei note that I left at home. So about 25 bucks that I had at home. They stole, and there's nothing, well, there's maybe like $4 in our bank account, something like that. So they stole all our money, my ID, my driver's license, my library card. They stole everything, and I'm like, crap, where's my wallet? This sucks. First and only time I've ever been robbed. Oh, sorry, except somebody stole my car in Milwaukee, but pickpocketed. First and only time I've been pickpocketed. So we went from, and then to make matters worse, the woman texted me back about the bass guitar and said, I changed my mind, I don't want to buy it. I'm like, ah, this sucks. So we went from on the edge, but we're sacrificing, I'm losing my bass guitar, but it's going to be okay because we're going to make our bills and everything's all right, to now I can't pay my rent, I can't support these missionaries, and we have nothing. Plus, I'm going to have to try to come up with all this extra money in order to get my documents again, which amounted to probably about, I don't know, maybe $1,000 to get all the documents and everything, and some I had to get from America shipped out to me and all that. So I'm like, ah, this really sucks. But, you know, I told Jesse what happened, and we were like, well, all we could do is praise God, you know, because we have nothing at this point. Like, all right, I mean, I have no option. So we're like, all right, I thought I understood. We sacrifice, and God will bless us, but we didn't get blessed this time. All right, we're still praising God. So we just praising God, and we had this peace in our hearts that everything's going to work out. So we thought, well, let's just tell people to pray for us, you know? And so we told people in our church community, hey, you know, I sent a text, hey, we got robbed, we lost all our money, just pray for us, you know? We have this peace, it's going to work out, God will take care of us, but keep us in prayer. And then I thought, I'll put something up on Facebook, you know, just to get people praying. And I said, hey, this is what happened, pray for us, you know, we have peace that it's going to work out. Well, it was within probably about 6 hours of talking to people and putting something up on Facebook, donations started coming in from all over the world. This church sent us a bunch, and then people in other places in Europe, people in Romania that heard about what happened, friends of ours, you know, they started giving us money at the end of the whole experience. So Monday morning, we were on the edge. I had to sell my bass guitar, but we were doing okay. Monday afternoon, got robbed, had nothing. Monday evening, God restored everything back to the point where we had $1,100 extra dollars in our account. I'm like, that's cool. What's the point? When we sacrifice, it's hard at the time. You know, and you're like, oh, wow, this is really, selling that bass guitar, I was like, oh, this is really hard. When we gave up our grocery money to help Derek get his dental work, it felt like, man, this is really hard. We really need that grocery money. But when you sacrifice, God will bless you. He'll take care of you. And so when you look at it in the long run and you see, okay, I made this sacrifice over here. It felt hard. But then you look at everything God's blessed you with and you go, that was easy because look at how much more I've gotten. That, so really, you know, God calls us in our finances and in our whole life to live in generosity. And that means we sacrifice to where it kind of hurts. But the reality is, yeah, okay, it feels like it kind of hurts right there, but after God restores and blesses and pours out more upon us, and we can get the whole perspective, it doesn't really hurt. It feels like a sacrifice, but it's really kind of not a sacrifice because he restores so much back to us. All right, let me see. So, you know, it's kind of like, I think a lot of us, we've heard that story, I don't know if this is true or not, but the illustration of the father that he gives his daughter a fake pearl necklace when she's a little girl and she loves this necklace and she wears it all the time. And then the girl gets older and the father buys her a real pearl necklace because he wants to, you know, bless her with something even better. And so he comes to the daughter and he says, hey, you got to give me this, give me that pearl necklace. And she goes, no, daddy, I don't want to. I love this necklace. No, you got to give it to me. And so she gives it to him and then she gets the real pearl necklace. That's like what God is with us. You know, we have our stuff. And he says, or our time, our money, our possessions. And he says, look, give me this little thing here. I'm like, no, that's mine. But God's looking at it going, it's a fake pearl necklace. Just sacrifice the fake pearl necklace. I got the real one here for you, but you gotta let your hand, let go of that fake thing. That's what sacrifice is in our giving. We get rid of this thing that we think it's so dear and so important and we need it so much, but we surrender it. And then God blesses us that much more. When we are, first, back from Romania, we really suffered. We didn't have Netflix. We didn't have Netflix or Amazon Prime, and we had to wait 2 weeks to get shipments once in a while. And I remember I was talking with this friend who lives in Lone Rock, I think it was, and she made some comment. She's like, I can't believe we had to wait 3 days to get our Amazon Prime shipment. It's supposed to be 2 days shipping. And I was like, we don't have Amazon Prime. And she's like, what? How can you live that way? That's a big sacrifice to make. I'm like, well, I don't know. We just, whatever. We have to wait 2 weeks. I don't really care. We have Amazon Prime now, and I love the two-day shipping. It's awesome. But when you make a sacrifice, other people, or even you at the time, you might feel like it's this big, major thing. But the reality is, you're okay without that. It's just a little thing in the eyes of God. The whole, you know, when we think about sacrifice, really the whole Christian life is a call to sacrifice. Matthew chapter 16, starting verse 24, says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? If we want to follow Jesus, we have to take up our cross, die to ourselves, and follow after him, obey him in everything. And so the whole Christian life, it's a call to die. It's a call to surrender. It's a call to sacrifice. You know, with the cross, let me take a drink. When Jesus talked about going to the cross, they knew he meant death. And when Jesus hung on the cross, he hung as a sacrifice for the world's sins. And so Jesus is saying, look, if you want to be my disciple, you sacrifice yourself. You can't just live your own life, do what you want, make your own rules, play the way you want to play, and then God's going to bless you, and you're going to go to heaven, and everything's going to be awesome. No, you don't. You die to yourself, take up your cross, deny what you want, and you follow what Jesus says now, because he's the king. He's the master. He's your Lord. And every part of the Christian life, it starts with that. You deny yourself and follow after Jesus. And so it's the same thing in our giving. You don't get to do what you want with your money. You don't get to just live a comfortable life and everything's great and I've got all my budget is perfectly laid out so that I can be blessed and I can take care of my own and I give God a little bit because that's what I can afford and everything's okay. No, that's contrary. That runs contrary to the whole call of Jesus to take up your cross and deny yourself. It's not the gospel, it's the American dream that you have everything taken care of for yourself. That's not the gospel. The gospel is deny yourself. You're a sacrifice. Lay your life down with your money, with your time, with everything in your life that you lay it down for Jesus. Romans 8:36, Paul writes, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed. Whoop, come back. It died on me for a second. For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. This verse, he's quoting Psalms there. In the Psalms, King David, when he wrote it, it's like more of like a complaint to God, saying, look, God, we're being slaughtered all day long for your sake. We're like sheep going to the sacrifice. You need to help us. But in Romans, when Paul writes it, he like flips it around and he says, for the glory of God, for his sake, we lay our lives down and we're sacrificed like sheep all day long. That we don't live for ourselves, but we get to lay our lives down. It's a thing of pride when Paul says it. And then later in Romans 12:1, he writes, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. We are called to lay our lives down, every area of our lives, to lay our lives down as a sacrifice for God's glory. Not that we get what we want, not that we get to live a comfortable life. Yeah, God wants to bless you. There's nothing wrong with having some nice things in life. But if that's what we're focused on, if that's what we're running after, then there's something wrong. Then it becomes an idol. God calls us to be a living sacrifice with our time. That could be really hard. Where we, I've worked with people sometimes or been in ministry with people that, I say, hey, can you meet up? A guy full-time ministry with me. And I said, hey, can you meet up Monday sometime? We got to talk about some issues. And he's like, oh yeah, Monday I do my laundry. Like, okay, how long does that take you? And he's like, well, this was in Romania. And he's like, well, some things I have to wash by hand. And I'm like, okay, well, so is it all day? Well, and then I do some other things. Okay, when can you meet in the week? Well, I'm kind of busy, all week. You're in full-time ministry. Okay, give me like an hour of your time, 2 hours, whatever. It can be hard to surrender our time to God. Or, at church, we say, hey, we got a prayer meeting. What night is it? Thursday nights. And you go, well, yeah, but I got to get up early for work. And, it takes an hour to drive in. Well, it doesn't take you that long. It takes a half hour to drive in. And then, it's kind of hard. And I just don't have the time. We sacrifice ourselves, sacrifice our time, sacrifice our money, sacrifice our comfort for the glory of God. This is the way Jesus lived. John 10, starting in verse 14, he didn't write this. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Jesus lived that way. Jesus saw his life as a living sacrifice. And if you think about it, I mean, he could have lived any way he wanted to live. He could have come and said, boom, worship me, guys, I'm amazing. Because he was amazing. He is amazing, and he deserves all our worship. But he laid his life down. He came and humbled himself, lived like a man. He had to deal with colds, had to deal with aches and pains, had to deal with hot weather and sweating and cold weather at night, had to deal with stupid people saying dumb things, and had to deal with getting crucified. But he looked at he treated his own life as a sacrifice for ourselves. No one took his life from him, but he chose to lay it down. And that's our call, to lay our own lives down as well. In 1 Corinthians, Paul refers to Jesus as our Passover lamb that has been sacrificed. And later in Philippians, he says that Jesus emptied himself, humbled himself to the point of death on the cross. Revelation, all over the book of Revelation, it calls Jesus the lamb that was slain. Jesus was a living sacrifice for us. And if we as his disciples want to follow after him, we have to live the same way. That our lives are a living sacrifice for the glory of God, but also for the people around us. Paul lived that way as well. 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 8, he writes here, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh." Paul didn't have to suffer. He didn't have to lay his life down. He could have said, you know what, I want to just focus on the Jerusalem church. I want to stick around here. I want to try to build a big ministry. And I just want to live a comfortable life and be a blessing to the church and try to, you know, speak some truth and try to encourage people a little bit. But I'm just going to take it easy. But instead, Paul was willing to be beat up, willing to be persecuted, willing to be crushed, willing to be just beat against in every city he's going to, because he loved God and he loved people and he wanted to lay his life down. He knew the call of Jesus was to lay his life down as a sacrifice for those around him. This last week, I showed my kids the movie Rocky. Have you all seen Rocky? Great movie. Great movie. As I was watching Rocky, I was thinking of Paul. Because, you know, at the end of it, well, before he goes into the fight with Apollo Creed, he talks with Adrian, and he's like, I forgot his line exactly, but he says, "I know I can't win. I know I can't beat him. I'm outclassed in every way. He's in a different division from me. I know I can't beat him, but if I can just stand and take it, that's what I want to do. I want to stand till the end." And then you see him, and it's brutal. He's going in, fight starts, and he's just getting pummeled left and right again and again and again, and he's falling down, and he's getting back up. He's falling down, and even his trainer yells at him, "Stay down, Rock, stay down!" But he gets back up again and again, and it's brutal to watch it, but he just wanted to finish, to fight the fight, to finish the race. That's Paul, you know, where Paul could have quit. Paul, after his first time of, you know, causing a riot and getting kicked out of the city, he could have been like, "Screw this! Jesus didn't even suffer this much, I'm going back." Or you know, whatever, after he was stoned the first time, he could have said, "All right, I get the message, I'm going to change my ministry." But he knew he was a living sacrifice. His life was made for the glory of God. And so he kept going. That's what we're called to do. We're called as living sacrifices in every area of our life, also in our giving. That we're not, our money, what God blesses us with, it's made to be given to others, to bless us, yes, but also to pour out and bless other people for the glory of God. That it would be that we would give a sacrifice in our finances. So when it comes to our giving, yeah, it should be a sacrifice too, because our whole life is a sacrifice to God. What does it mean to give a sacrifice to God? Recently, I was reading in Genesis 4 with Cain and Abel. This is the first sacrifice, first offering that's given to God in the Bible. Gulp, I like that. This is cool. We got like different things happening today. So Adam and Eve have two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain works the ground. He's a farmer. Abel raises sheep, shepherd. And as God blesses their work, each of them comes to God and gives an offering of what God has blessed them with. God loves Abel's sacrifice. Maybe he likes meat better. I don't know. All you vegans out there. I don't think that's not what's going on. God loves Abel's sacrifice, though, but he basically ignores Cain's sacrifice. And Cain gets mad, kills his brother, and now no one will ever name their child Cain. It's a bad name. I don't think the issue was not God likes meat, he doesn't like vegetables. That's not the issue. The issue was their heart. When you look at the verses and they talk describes their offering, it says about Abel that he gave the firstborn of the flock. What does it say about Cain? It says he gave in the course of time. So what does that mean? Maybe he's got, you know, he's getting some fruit, he's got the harvest, things are coming in, and he's eating some of it, he's sharing it with his family. In the course of time, he gave an offering to God. You know, the Bible's doesn't declare specifically exactly when he gave, but it kind of looks like that. The fact that Abel gave the firstborn and Cain gave in the course of time. It says Abel gave the meat with the fat portions. That's the good stuff. That's the good part of the meat there. And Cain, he doesn't give the best. It just says he gave an offering of the fruit. Was it good? Was it bad? We don't quite know. But I think that's why the offering was rejected, or why God didn't treat it with as much love and enthusiasm, because his attitude was wrong. Cain's heart was wrong in it. He didn't give the best. He didn't give the first that he had. It wasn't really an honor to God. It was kind of, it seems like he just gave some kind of crappy stuff that he didn't really want anyway after him and his family had eaten what they needed. And he's like, oh yeah, I should give something to God. So here, God, you know, you can have that. It's conjecture. I don't know if that's exactly what was going on, but it seems like that's kind of the heart issues that were at play here. And if, you know, when I think about it too, here's my scenario in my head. What happened is, so God in Genesis 3 declares the ground cursed. So the ground is cursed and Cain is working the ground. He's putting seeds down and he's working his butt off to get anything to come out of that ground because the ground's cursed. And so he's sweating day and night, day in, day out. He's sweating to get a little bit of harvest there. Meanwhile, every time he's working, he's looking over at his brother Abel. He's like, man, all he's doing is taking walks with sheep all day long. That looks easy. He's bringing them to the river, and he's swimming in the river with them. And then he has to chase off a few wolves once in a while, but the sheep come back home, and then they make babies, and he's not working. He's probably, you know, stewing about it over here while Cain is working hard, trying to get a little bit of something out of that ground. He's watching his brother getting upset about it, thinking that that's a lot easier. And then finally, when he gets his harvest, it probably wasn't that great because the ground's been cursed, and so it probably wasn't a big harvest. Maybe it was small little fruits or not a lot of stuff that he was able to get in. But whatever, and so Cain gets this little bit of stuff, and he's like, man, I've worked my butt off day in and day out, months on end, to just get this little bit of something. I need to feed my family. I need to take care of myself. We're starving over here. I can't give to you, God, and you're the one who cursed the ground anyway. And then he's looking at his brother, getting mad about the fact that his brother seems to have an easier time. And so he's getting mad at God, and he's getting mad at his brother. And he goes, okay, God, here's your little bit. You know, he eats what he needs. He shares with his family what he needs. And then he's like, all right, I got these leftovers. Now I'll give these to God. That's not really a sacrifice. That's what Cain didn't want. When we talk about giving a sacrifice, you give your best, you give your first, and you hurt a little bit when you give a sacrifice. It's not easy. You feel it. That's what giving a sacrifice is. So when it comes to our money, the same thing. You know, you get money, you go, okay, God, I want to give to you first. I don't want to make sure I pay all my bills first and have enough laid aside here and make sure I have Netflix and Amazon Prime and this thing and that thing first and then give to you. God, I want to give to you first. And if you give me extra for everything else, great. I'll use it for everything else. We want to give first to God. We want to give our best to God. We don't, you know, it's the same idea with Cain and Abel that it probably didn't bother Cain. Whatever he gave God, it wasn't that good. It was some of the harvest, some of the fruit. So it probably wasn't the best of the stuff. We want to give our best to God, not just, here's the leftovers I don't really need. We want to say, okay, God, man, I just got blessed on my birthday, got an extra $100, and technically, okay, that's not money I made, so I don't have to tithe that, but man, God, I want to give it to you, because I was really blessed by this. I want to give it all back to you, or I want to tithe off of that, or I want to give you half of that, whatever it is, that we give the best to God. So when we give a sacrifice, when we talk about giving as a sacrifice, we got to give our best, give first to God, give the best to God, and give even if it hurts, especially if it hurts, because that's kind of the point of a sacrifice. A sacrifice hurts. It's not easy. The Philippian church, they understood what it meant to give as a sacrifice. We read these verses this morning at the membership class. 2 Corinthians 8, starting in verse 1. Paul is writing about the church in Philippi, and he says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints." What a cool picture there. Here's this church, and they're in affliction, they're in extreme poverty, but they're begging Paul, saying, please, can we give? And they give according to their means, and then they give beyond their means, where Paul's like, wait, how did you do that? You guys don't have that. And they're, oh, well, we did this thing, I sold off this thing so I could help them out. And that's generosity, that's a sacrifice in your giving. They understood what it meant. The poor widow in Mark chapter 12. We read this morning too. It's funny. I didn't plan on coordinating this way, but in the membership class, we read these verses as well. Mark 12 talks about the poor widow. It's basically, you know, the scenario. Jesus is sitting by the offering box, and he sees the rich people come in, and they give big chunks of money, and then he sees a poor widow come in, put two small copper coins in there, and Jesus calls his disciples over. In verse 43, he says, "This poor widow has put in more than anyone else, because they gave out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, gave everything she had to live on." That's pretty radical. You know, we don't know if she did this every week, you know, or with any bit of money that came in. Did she always give all of that? But we know at least one time in her life, she gave everything that she had to live on. That's terrifying. If the Roman tax collectors come and want to collect some tax from her, she's got nothing to give them. So she's going to get beat up or put in jail, or she'll have to go try to talk to some friends and say, "Please, you got to help me out. I need some money for the tax collectors." If she needs some food, where's she going to get food? If she gets sick, where could she buy medicine? If she needs to pay her rent or buy some clothes or anything, she has nothing now. She's giving it all to God. It was a small amount, but it was a huge sacrifice for her. And so there, you know, when we talk about sacrifice, it's not so much about the amount we give, it's about the heart behind it, that it actually kind of hurts us, it affects us. Because here's all these rich guys that are giving huge amounts, but they don't feel it. Maybe he's got $1,000 and he gives $100 or something. That's not really a huge amount, but to the poor widow it was. So he's got $1,000, he gives $100, and he's like, "Oh, and my bills are $500, so I still got $400 to do whatever I want." That's not a sacrifice. That's just giving a church tax. But the poor widow, she's got these two little coins and she gives everything she's got. That's a sacrifice. So am I saying that you all have to give all that you have all the time? No. One time in the Bible, this poor widow did it. Maybe that's what we know. But the heart is that it's a sacrifice when it hurts us, when we feel it, when we have to kind of change what we're doing a little bit. And I want to reiterate, you know, I said this, the past few times, this isn't coming out of desperation where I'm like, "Oh, we gotta pay the church bills, we gotta figure things out." Our church is blessed, you guys are awesome, you bless me, you bless other people in the church, other people in the community, we're pouring out all the time and it's awesome. We're a really generous church, we've always been that way. And so I'm so honored, grateful, and just blessed to be a part of this church. But it's a push to go, okay, wherever you're at, let's do a little more, let's excel still more, from grace to grace. And maybe there's some of you, maybe there's some of us that aren't sacrificing, where we are just giving a church tax, where we've got things laid out and I go, "Okay, I can afford to give this much." Okay, then I want you to check your heart and say, "Okay, God, do you want me to sacrifice? Do you want me to have faith, give more so it kind of hurts me and it affects me now, but I'm giving it as a sacrifice to you?" Now, there's a lesson that we can learn from the poor widow, that we never have an excuse to not sacrifice. We never have a reason to not sacrifice. You know, the widow, she had every reason in the world to say, "I can't give today." She's got no one to take care of her. There's no, you know, social welfare program to help her out. Just her and her 2 cents, and she's got every reason to say, "No, I can't give today because I don't have enough." But still she gave, and it really hurt, but she gave a sacrifice. We never have a reason. You know, we can never say, "Well, I just don't have enough. You know, when I get more, then I'll give more." We would hear this all the time in Romania, and there is a lot more poverty out there, but people would tell us, "Well, yeah, if I had enough to give, I would give. If I had more in, you know, when God blesses me, then I'm gonna pour it back out to Him." And I would challenge them and say, "Well, maybe the reason you're not being blessed and you're poor is because you're not giving. And so that's not going to change until you start sacrificing, because God can't trust you to give you a bigger blessing because you're just gonna use it on yourself." We never have an excuse to not give a sacrifice. Corrie Ten Boom tells a story about when she was in the concentration camps. There was so much suffering and so much poverty, so much lack in the concentration camps that any little thing you got, she said you were really tempted to hoard it and hold on to it. Like you get a little scrap of moldy bread and you would fight tooth and nail to keep that moldy bread because it was all you had to eat for the day. And so she said she noticed that she was getting very, very selfish, very callous toward other people, and she wasn't wanting to give out. So one day she made a decision, "Okay, whatever I have, I'm gonna, give it out to others. I'm going to be generous and just fight that greed and that selfishness. Well, her sister got sick, and Corey got a small bottle of vitamins. And I don't remember how she got it, but somehow she gets a hold of this small bottle of vitamins, and she gets it. She's like, all right, I'm going to hold on to this. There were a lot of sick people in the concentration camp. Obviously, it's a concentration camp. But she's like, okay, I got to hold on to this to take care of my sister. And so every day she'd give her sister like a little drop of these vitamins. But God convicted her one day and said, I thought I told you to give, to be generous, to not hoard stuff. But she's like, yeah. So you need to start giving these vitamins to everybody else in the concentration camp. And so she fought with God a little bit back and forth in her head, you know, and then finally she's like, all right, I just surrendered. And she started going to the sick people saying, hey, here's some vitamins, here's some vitamins, here's some vitamins. That tiny little bottle of vitamins, because she was willing to sacrifice it for others and for the glory of God, that tiny bottle of vitamins never ran out until someone else happened to come with another bottle of vitamins. That's what God does when we sacrifice. If we hoard onto things, you get what you have, and that's it. But if you sacrifice to where it kind of hurts, even if you're like, man, I can't, I don't know how it's going to work, I don't have enough. But if you're willing to sacrifice where it kind of hurts you, then God's going to take care of you. He's going to take that little bit that you have, and he's going to make it go a lot further than it would otherwise. All right. So it's important, though, to remember, and, you know, we're talking about sacrificing money, time, whatever, possessions for others, to help others, to bless the church, all this. We're talking about sacrifice, but it's important to remember what's the point of it? Who's the recipient of this? It's not primarily about you, what you sacrifice, what you go through, what God's going to bless you with. It's not primarily about you. It's not even primarily about who you're helping. The poor person you helped, or the church that you're giving to and helping there, or the family that's in need. It's not primarily about you. It's not primarily about anyone else that you're giving to. Primarily, the point of a sacrifice is it's for God. A sacrifice gives Jesus glory. That's the point of a sacrifice. In John 12, it's the story of Mary of Bethany. Jesus is hanging out in Bethany at the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who he raised from the dead, and Martha's in the kitchen working on stuff. Jesus and Lazarus are hanging out. And Mary comes in with this bottle of expensive perfume that we find out was worth 300 denarii, basically a year's wages. And she takes this whole bottle of perfume and she pours it on Jesus' feet. Well, Judas is there and he's, you know, pretending that that he cares about poor people. He's a philanthropist and goes, why wasn't this sold for the poor? And John, I love John. He's like, he says, well, Judas didn't ask this because he really cared about the poor. He used to take care of the money, and he wanted to take some of that money out of there. I like the realism, the honesty in the Bible. It's so Judas is offended. Well, why wasn't this sold for the poor? And Jesus, in verse 7, says, leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. The reason for a sacrifice is not, you know, we don't give just so we can help the poor or so we can help the church or we can help a friend or a family in need. The point of a sacrifice is it brings glory to Jesus. It brings glory to God when we sacrifice. And that was an incredibly large gift that Mary gave. A year's salary. And people suggest that it was probably her only income that she had to live on. And so they would draw from this perfume. You know, they'd take a little bit and they'd sell it and they'd survive for a week, and then they'd take a little bit, sell it, survive for another week. That's what she had to live on. And she sees Jesus and she's like, okay, I'm not using this for myself. I'm not giving it to the poor. I'm giving a sacrifice straight to Jesus because Jesus is worthy of everything that I could possibly give to him, and just pours it out on Jesus. And Jesus honors her for that gift, for that sacrifice. So the point of giving is that it's a sacrifice, that it hurts a little bit. And the point of a sacrifice is that it brings glory to God. He's the recipient of it. So let me close with this. You know, I know this is kind of a little bit harder message, that calling you to sacrifice. And it's like, oh man, that kind of hurts. I don't like that. let me close with some encouragement. You know, I started in the beginning sharing that story about when we were in Romania and we made these sacrifices, but then God blessed us beyond what we had sacrificed. And that's what a sacrifice always ends up at with God, is we give up this thing and it feels like, man, this is really hard and I'm giving this up and I'm going to suffer, it's going to hurt and I'm going to really feel this and I don't know why I'm doing this, but I know I have to and I'm giving glory to God, okay, but it's hard. Well, it's really though, in the end, God blesses us back so much that it's not really a sacrifice. I was thinking about, you know, Brian a couple weeks ago talked about Elijah, and he shared the story of the widow of Zarephath. And I was thinking about that in terms of giving and sacrifice. And I love this story. Let me give a quick summary of it. So Israel is in the middle of a drought, and God tells Elijah to go to Zarephath to find a widow who would support him. And so he gets there, finds her, and then asks if he can get some water and bread from her. They're in the middle of a drought, so it's kind of an odd question, but God told him that she would support him, so he's probably like, all right, she must have stores of water and bread. So he asks for some water and bread, and then she basically says, well, yeah, we've got a tiny bit, but me and my son, we're just going to go make a little bit of bread for ourselves and then just get ready to die, because that's all we got. Real encouraging, positive woman, like Caleb. So she's like, yeah, we're going to make a little bit of bread and eat it so we could die. And then Elijah, though, polite young man, he tells her, okay, cool, sounds like a plan, but go and make me a cake first. It's like, what? But then he adds, but don't worry. After you make me a cake with your bread and oil and all that, everything's going to be all right because God's going to multiply it and you're never going to run out of it. And so she goes, and she's like, okay, crazy prophet, but all right, I'll go make him a cake. Makes him the cake, and then the bread and flour and oil never ran out during the drought, which is pretty cool miracle. And then to make things even more cool, her son ends up dying. Okay, that's not cool. But then Elijah's there, so what does Elijah do? Raises the son back up. So she gets completely blessed. Now, when I think about this, you know, my question for myself is, was that a sacrifice for her to make this stuff for Elijah? Did she hurt a little bit? Yeah, giving that was a huge sacrifice because maybe she knows who Elijah is and maybe she doesn't. But this is all she's got. And Elijah says, yeah, go ahead. You can make your bread and whatever you want to make later. But first take all that you have and make me a cake with that so that I can eat first. So she's got to give everything that she's got to feed this crazy prophet guy. Huge sacrifice. But then, actually, was it really a sacrifice? Well, in the end, not really, because, okay, sounds a little bit calloused, but she and her son are going to die the next day anyway, right? This is very callous, but they're going to die anyway. So what's the difference if they eat today and die tomorrow, or don't eat today and die today? It's, well, you get to Jesus faster if you give him his food. So I'm going somewhere with this, though. So on, this is like Daniel in youth group. Daniel's always saying weird things like this in youth group. Now I know why he and I track with each other. So, you know, on one level, it's really not that much of a sacrifice because they're going to die anyway, and she knows they're going to die. So, okay, to give him some food, like, what's the big deal? And then on the going even further, because she made this sacrifice, well, actually, Elijah, being a prophet of God, can do crazy things. And so he does crazy things, like multiplying the oil and the flowers so that while her neighbors don't have anything, she's got more than enough. So maybe she's even helping them out. And then taking it even further, she gets completely blessed because her son dies and comes back to life. If she had never given that cake to Elijah, she would never have gotten her oil and flour multiplied. She would have died just like everybody else around her. And if she miraculously would have made it, her and her son, when her son died, Elijah wouldn't have been there living with her and able to raise him back up. So yeah, it was a little sacrifice. Well, it was a big sacrifice at the time, but because she made that, in the end, it was not a sacrifice at all. She got completely blessed because she was willing to give away the little thing that she had. Same thing with our money. You know, we hold on to our money, or our time, or our possessions, and we're like, no, this is mine, I need this, and I won't survive without this. But when you think about it, is it really that important? You've got your little money here, but you don't love money. You love Jesus. You serve Jesus. When you die, you're going to go to heaven and be with him for eternity and have pleasure forevermore, and you're going to feel awesome year after year after year. So your little bit of money that you think is so important really doesn't matter. Unless you love and worship money, which none of you do because you're here at church, and so you love and worship Jesus. So giving up this thing that you don't really love and worship anyway, and it's not going to come with you for eternity, is not that big a deal. Amen. And you get blessed. Just like the widow got blessed. When she sacrificed this thing, and yeah, it was a hard sacrifice, she got so blessed by it. When you make a sacrifice and you give so it kind of hurts, God will bless you so much that you look back and you go, man, I'm glad I sacrificed that. That barely even affected me. Yeah, okay, for like a month it was kind of tough, or I had to adjust a few things here, but I couldn't eat at McDonald's as much, but man, I lost weight and I'm, you know, feeling better and I got this and that. And God wants to bless you, but the way to blessing is He has to take the little bit that you're holding on to and you treat it like it's so important. You have to sacrifice that to God, and then you get the blessing that He has for you. So, I want to encourage all of you guys. You're a generous church. You're generous people. You're awesome. God loves you. I love you. But let's be more awesome. Let's be awesomer than we are currently. Let's sacrifice more. Because as when we sacrifice, when we give our time, our money, our stuff, everything we have, when we give to the point where it hurts, God will bless us back even more. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, I want to thank You for the call to sacrifice. Thank You that You were a living sacrifice for us and You gave everything up so that we could know You, we could be restored, we could have our own minds restored, our hearts restored, our lives restored, our families restored, our neighborhoods, communities restored. Jesus, thank You that You sacrificed all for us. Father, I pray for Your grace for each one of us to live the same way, that we would live lives that are a sacrifice for You, for Your glory, and for those around us, that we would give our money to the point where it kind of hurts and where we're not sure how it's going to work out. But we say, Lord, I'm trusting You. I'm giving a sacrifice for Your glory and Your kingdom. Jesus, I pray that You would give us the grace to live as a living sacrifice in every way, with our money, our possessions, our time, our focus in life, that in everything, God, that we would lay it down, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow after You. In Jesus' name, amen.